Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's podcast, today's episode of today's podcast. Luke chapter 21 is our chapter today. We just started it yesterday, and we pointed out some principles about the widow's two mites. If you didn't get a chance to hear that episode, I would encourage you to backtrack and listen to it, because you might be surprised at what the teaching, the main teaching of that little story really was. Look at verse 5 today of our text, Luke 21 and verse 5. And as some spake of the temple. So again, Josh, that's where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So as Jesus answers the questions, we talked about a few episodes ago, the Sadducees that came to him, the scribes that answered him, some of the indictments he's made against the religious leaders. All of this is happening in the temple. Even the woman that gave the two mites, this is all happening in the temple. So it might be expected that people would be talking about the temple. It was a beautiful building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Josh, you've been there with me on Temple Mount.
Right.
It's a massive place.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. I mean, you can walk all over the place and really not cover all the ground.
30-something odd acres on Temple Mount. Then, of course, the Dome of the Rock is there, which is the Muslim building built back in the 1600s. But the temple was much more ornate and bigger than that. And that's an impressive building.
Yeah.
So this was an impressive place. Now, remember, they are there right now for the Feast of the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus and his disciples are there with multitudes of people that only come certain times of the year. So they're coming from their little dry and dusty villages, and when they get to Jerusalem, the big city, and see these incredible buildings, and people are oohing and aahing.
Yeah,
it's like you can always tell who the guests are in New York City.
Yeah, I was getting ready to go to the exact same illustration. You know, when you go to New York City, everybody's looking up at the billboards. And,
all the pickpockets are looking down at your purse
exactly.
And your wallet.
Yes, But yeah, that's what's going on here is the people are, you know, they're looking at the gold and they're looking at the beautiful white stones in the temple. And they're just thinking about how beautiful this building is.
It's amazing what impresses us.
Mm.
And we're typically impressed by superficial, temporal, physical things.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the things that get our eyes for sure. And then usually, a biblical truth, our eye affects our heart, you know. And so that's what gets us quite often.
It really does. Look at verse 5 again. So as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said. And before we go to what Jesus said, isn't it amazing, I'm using that word a lot today, but it truly is amazing how Jesus was always able to take conversations or bits of scenery along the way, and he was always able to use it as a conversation starter.
Yeah, we kind of read the Bible in black and white. We've had this discussion on here before. Yours is red and black and white. Mine's just black and white. But we kind of read, you know, and what I'm saying is that we don't often use our imaginations to take us there. But if we can just for a second kind of use our imaginations to take us there and be on the Temple Mount, you know, and imagine all the people that are looking around and seeing this and having these conversations. And as Jesus is hearing these things take place, he takes the everyday conversations, the mundane, the things that are going on around him, and uses them for some incredible teachings.
That's good. Don't just see the pages, see the pictures.
Yeah.
And the Bible says in verse 6, as for these things, so Jesus now is responding to the oohing and the awing and the gawking about the temple. As for these things, which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Boy, you talk about a wet blanket.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's like, wow, this is great. This is awesome. Jesus said, well, take a good look because it's all coming down.
Yeah, yeah. And I would go back to our opening illustration with the New York City thing. Like, could you imagine if you were standing in the middle of Times Square and somebody were to say, well, you take a good look at this because, you know, very shortly it's all going to be gone. I would imagine that most people that are hearing this are thinking, really? Like, I don't see how that could possibly happen. You know, I mean, this is a strong, it's built with stones and it's beautiful. It's got gold and, you know, it's beautiful. I don't really see how that could happen. I would imagine that's a lot of the thoughts that were going through the people's minds.
Yeah. So there really are two broad groups of people here. So there's the one group of people that are not believing
right.
that Jesus is Messiah. And for him to say that is a huge slap in the face.
Yes.
Yeah. Who do you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
But then there are those that do believe that he's Messiah, like disciples. And it must have been equally enigmatic to them for him to say, because Messiah, after all, is the one that comes to the temple. Messiah is the one that will rule and reign from this place. So what are you talking about?
Yeah,
that the temple's going to be destroyed? You're the Messiah. We're finally recognizing that. No, no, no. So either whichever side you're on, this statement just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I don't think it can really be overstated as to how important this building was to everyday life for these people. I mean, this was where, like you said, they had come for the Passover. And so this was certainly mind-boggling to them.
So verse 7, and they asked him, because I think I would have asked too. So they asked him saying, Master, but when shall these things be? What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? So these must have been they that were following Jesus, that respected his authority. Well, Lord, okay, but when's that going to
mm-hmm.
happen?
Mm-hmm.
And what indication will there be to validate that prophetical statement? After all, the Jews require a sign. They're always looking for some kind of a validation.
Right, right. Yeah. So the question would be a natural one. You know, like you said, it's a question that probably any of us would have asked. Like, when is this going to happen? I mean, is this now? Is this going to be soon? Is this going to be way down the road? Are there signs that we can watch for to see and make sure that we're not here when this happens? I'm assuming that was probably, you know, part of their reasoning for asking the question. But certainly it's a valid question to ask of Jesus at this point.
And it's not a question that has not been posed to Jesus in his public ministry. Jesus has received questions about his identity before. The unbelieving religious leaders have said, show us a sign of who you are. And it's interesting because Jesus has said to them, I'm not going to give you a
mm-hmm,
sign.
Mm-hmm.
You have the sign of the prophet Jonah. He was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the sign. I'm not going to give you another sign. The validating sign of my ministry will be the resurrection.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
But to these honest questioners, he does give an answer. So watch what he says in verse 8 of Luke 21. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, I'm the Messiah. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. So first of all, Jesus says, hey, there are going to be deceivers that will try to identify themselves as Messiah. Don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the implication here is that Messiah will be coming. Now, wait a minute. To the followers of Christ, of Jesus, hasn't he already come?
Mm-hmm.
So is this not a veiled reference to the fact that my work is not done?
Right.
I'm doing a work now, but there will be another coming.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so now we get into kind of a whole nother teaching of Jesus as he begins to talk about the end times.
Right. And that's, I mean, this whole next section, my friends, over the next couple episodes, we'll talk about some just really intense teaching of Christ about the end times. Look at verse 9. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. Don't be intimidated. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences. You know, at the time of this recording, we're still going through this COVID. And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying the time that precedes my coming will be a time characterized by upheaval. So there's going to be political upheaval. There's going to be international upheaval. There's going to be upheaval in regard to world pestilence and world issues. So all somebody has to do is pick up a general history book and see that what Jesus is saying here has served as an ample description of the last 2,000 years.
I mean, really, from the time that he said this until the time of this recording, all of these things have been taking place and growing in intensity over the years.
This is not, and that's how we learn history, my friends. That's why you learned history. You know the famous people in history? The people that led in battles.
Yeah.
So who are our favorite, who are our famous presidents? Yeah, people like George Washington, Revolutionary War. People like Abraham Lincoln, Civil War.
Right.
You know, people like FDR, World War II. I mean, you think about, because that's how we chronicle history, by wars. What's interesting, Josh, is that when Daniel gave his prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, an amazing prophecy about how God focuses upon Israel and the 70 weeks of Daniel, between the 69th week, which ended with the crucifixion of Messiah, and the 70th week, which is yet future, when including the Great Tribulation, that'll be the second half of the 70th week, is an indeterminate period of time. Yeah. But the Bible says it's an indeterminate period of time, already 2,000 years old, that is going to be characterized by wars. I read something, I don't have the exact number on me, but of the last 2,000 years of our history, only about 150 of them in 2000 have not been plagued with wars.
Wow.
Think about that.
Yeah.
It's as if mankind is constantly fighting, constantly competing, constantly rearing back its shoulders in pride at each other, and the greed and envy and murder and all of it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we see today, really worldwide, but especially even right there in Israel, in the Middle East, you know, right where this statement is taking place.
So what we're going to do, and I'm just going to tell you how this is going to unfold in the next couple of days, is we're going to talk about these days. Understand that Jesus was speaking to a generation of people that would suffer itself. The fact that stone would not be left upon stone, some of the people that were listening that day would see that because it was 35 years later that the Roman general Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem. So this actually happened. But beyond the tribulation that they faced as a generation, is the tribulation that will come ahead of the second coming of Christ. And so we'll make some of those distinctions. I want you to stay locked and loaded. Get you a good night's sleep before the next couple episodes, because we're going to just dive right into it. But we're going to stop there for today, give you a little bit of time back that we took from you yesterday, and hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless each one of you. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.